After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hello and welcome once more to a Hot Sheet podcast with Jeff and Josh. If you're hearing this now, the new Hot Sheet has dropped, as all the cool kids say. Why did I say it? Who knows? I'm neither cool nor a kid. And we're going to discuss the latest Hot Sheet going on in baseball, what it was that's going on in the minor leagues, and anything else that comes to mind before the Zoom meeting ends. Jeff, how are you doing out in Massachusetts?
I'm not doing too bad, Josh. Not doing too bad. Ready to get into some Hot Sheet minks with you.
Oh, yeah. They are minks. They are doing minkery. So let's just get right into it. Like, the top guy this week was Xavier Warren. And I think it's kind of funny. Like, a scout called me about him earlier this year and was like, what do you think of him? And I was like, I honestly hadn't thought much about him. So I'm a little bit with Carolina last year. He's like, yeah, he can hit a little bit, but he's not showing any power. Well, he's figured that out and is starting to show power. What did you write about Mr. Warren? What's the Warren report?
Yeah. Warren is funny because harking back a few years, like I remember when he was playing in the Cape League as a third baseman next to Alika Williams and alongside top 100 prospect Alec Burleson and former highly touted draft prospect a few years ago, Judd Fabian. So it's kind of funny to think about him as a third baseman. I can remember scouts actually talking about his athleticism, his ability to play a few different positions, the arm, and the fact that they thought he might be a best fit at catcher. So he had a huge week this week. Like you said, had a fairly large or pronounced power surge, where, you know, he actually, let me pull up the exact numbers here, had 3 homers this week, but also 5 doubles and a pair of triples. So the extra base hits came. It's kind of interesting, though, like digging into the year long numbers, there's definitely contact, there's approach, but he hasn't had great results. And I think a lot of it is due to that lack of power and impact, a lot of ground balls too. So an interesting player. Like, I've always thought a really good interesting athlete, just in terms of all the different things that he can do and his versatility. But my man Xavier needs to hit a little bit more. Maybe this week will be the jumping off point and we'll save his season with a strong stretch run down the end of the year here.
And I'll note too that he is this year playing a lot more third base. Like, he's playing almost exclusively third base.
At third exclusively?
Almost. He's played
okay.
5 games, 6 games at first base, 83 at third base.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. And yeah, he hasn't caught since last year.
Oh, damn. Well, there you go. I guess he's no longer a catcher.
No. Now they have Jefferson Cuero up there. After he just got promoted last week from the Mudcats. Now they got the new look Mudcats down here. The first guy I wrote up on the Hot Sheet this week was Andrew Painter of Lakewood, who, you know, he really doesn't really live up to his name. He does not paint. He just blows it by guys, which is, you know, arguably better. You know, he went 7 innings, which is because he was pitching in a back-to-back, a doubleheader with Mick Abel at the front. seven innings. I believe it was shutout, 11 strikeouts, and he just blew it by Hudson Valley all day. Upper 90s fastball, nasty little breaker. And he's had a lot of success since moving to high A. And if everything goes right, I will see him this Saturday. So I'm excited because they're in Greensboro. So I will see the Claws and get some sweet slow-mo video of Andrew Painter and possibly Mick Abel. He has had a great week and he's had an excellent year. And there's a reason he's the Phillies' top prospect. The next guy I wrote about was Mr. Electric himself, Eli De La Cruz. And if you didn't see the highlight this past week of his first of two home runs, it was an inside the park home run with an error that cannot be charged as an error because it's not a real error, more as a miscalculation on the infield's part. It's a long ball to center field, bounds off the base of the wall. Center fielder gets it, throws it into the shortstop. Shortstop kind of lollipops it to the third baseman who's just going to throw it to the mound. And when Eli saw that lollipop, he and his 6'7", 6'6", whatever it is, frame and his long legs said, it's go time. And he made a mad dash toward home plate. And, you know, since he's so big, it only takes him like 12 strides to get home, and slid across for an inside the park home run. If you get a chance, go check out the Reds player development account. I think it's Reds on the Rise or something. There's good video of it. The broadcaster does it justice. He is a special, fun player, and there's really no more perfect example than that home run he hit earlier or last week. Jeff, you also wrote about let's see, who else did you write about, Jeff? Adrian Chades. Tell me about Adrian Chades.
Chades. You're making it sound like Sade. It's like it's the sweetest taboo when it comes out of your mouth. yeah, so Adrian Chades was a former UCLA reliever that I don't think they used correctly because now he's in pro ball and he's better than he was in college. And he was an arm that that stuck out to me when I was down actually at the Astros spring training facility back in March. So way back before the beginning of the season, really interesting pitch shapes. He's got two different breaking balls that have some power on him and interesting movement profiles. He throws a pretty good changeup. And his fastball, you know, it's got some ride. It's got some power. It typically sits like 2-4. He'll get it up to like 96 or so. Really more of one of these hybrid sort of pitching prospects that the Astros and Rays, among others, have had in recent years. And what I mean by that is he's one of these guys that they piggyback in starts. So he'll go 4 or 5. He may come on in relief and do that. He might start and do that. He did both last week. I think he had a 4 or 5 inning start and then a 4 or 5 inning relief appearance. But he's pretty good, you know, now that he's throwing consistent strikes and showing the variety of pitch shapes and sort of movement, velocity bands that he has. I really think he's an interesting arm here going forward. And kudos to the Astros is, you know, they did a pretty good job last year. I think we're seeing of uncovering, I guess, some underrated pitchers and prospects in last year's draft. It almost feels like they're later round guys and DFAs from the last two classes have been better than their first couple of picks in like Whitaker and Santos. In some cases they have. So I think he's a really interesting arm. I don't know what he is, but I feel like I've been saying that about Astros pitching prospects for the last several years. Like, I don't know what Christian Javier is. And then Christian Javier is, you know, I still don't know what Christian Javier is, but he's a, I don't know what he is in the major leagues contributing to a playoff team. So
you know what he is, Jeff?
Figure out where, you know, what the development path is for these guys, whether they are sort of that
well, I know what he is,
middle starter or not, you know,
he's a big leaguer. That's what he is.
There you go.
And I know what time it is. It's time for an ad break. So we're going to take an ad break right now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so deeper into this list, we are going to talk about a guy. We're going to transition into maybe stuff we're going to see this week. Emiliano Teodo, who I hope to see either this week or next. Down East is in Fayetteville, and then Down East is back in Down East the next week. But when he dominates, boy, does he dominate. He's had two start. He had this past week was a 5-inning, I believe, no hit, 1 walk, 10 punch outs. And he had an identical start like 2 months ago, 5 innings, no hits, 1 walk, 10 punch outs. So I hope to see him this week at Fayetteville. But, you know, he throws really hard, has a really nice breaking pitch, and the changeup flashes too. He's one of the higher upside, lower level arms for Texas. And if you're hearing this now, you either know where he ranks on the Rangers updated 30 or are just about to find out where he ranks on the Rangers updated 30. Mystery, intrigue, and uncertain timing of podcast dropping all coalescing into one wonderful sentence there. But he's a really fun arm to watch, and I need to see him at least one more time before the year closes. I say that knowing full well that he's going to Hickory next year, and I'll have plenty of turns to see him next year as well. But, you know, sometimes that doesn't work out. Sometimes they get traded or whatever. So I want to see a little more Emiliano while I have the chance. Jeff, what are you planning to watch this week? I mean, I know I'm sure there's somehow some Cape in your future, but
there's only three potential Cape games left.
I know
finals. The congratulations to the Bourne Braves. They swept the Hyannis Harbor Hawks in the second round. They are back and return to the finals once again, as they did last year. They represented the Western Division last year, and congratulations to the reigning Cape Cod League champions, Brewster Whitecaps, the Eastern Division champions. Bourne and Brewster actually played in the finals last year. We have a repeat of the finals here, Josh, between the Whitecaps and the Braves. And it's interesting because Braves have a first-year manager this year, Scott Landers, who actually is Jamie Shevchuk, the Brewster manager's former assistant coach. So it's a battle of friends as well, as he had replaced Harvey Shapiro, who was Bourne's longtime manager.
Okay. And then it sounds like you might have a new goat in town in Hartford.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot that we have Zach Veen was promoted to Hartford. So yeah, potentially we'll make a run out there this week or next. I actually need to double check and make sure that they're actually not even home. I believe they're actually in Somerset this week. So the next time I could see them would be the following week against New Hampshire.
Ooh. I'm sure you wouldn't mind matching up Ricky Tiedemann again versus Zach Veen. I'm sure that would just really hurt your feelings.
No, but I will say this, like, I'm actually interested in going today. This gentleman, Moline is actually going today for New Hampshire, who's also been pretty interesting. They have a bunch of really interesting arms up there in New Hampshire.
Okay.
And they got Erie in town this week. So who knows? I mean, if it shakes out correctly, I could potentially have Ricky Tiedemann versus
Ty Madden.
Wilmer Flores or
Ty Madden. Wilmer Flores. Yeah. Yeah, so I mentioned I might see Mick Abel. I might see Andrew Painter. I'm trying to see Teodo. Who else we got in here? Bowling Green is in Winston-Salem. And Jacksonville is in Durham. So there's plenty of options around here. It's all a matter of what the pitching matchups look like. But yeah, it could be an interesting week for the both of us now that you're just about free of Cape and we we've got the most of the ranking season behind us. We got a new top 100 up there. We're gonna have new top 30s up there. Carlos, our colleague, is out at the area code games getting looked at 2023 draft guys. It's winding down but heating up at the same time. Like there's still some stuff going on. We're starting to hammer out Arizona Fall League instructional league plans. We got some stuff going on, but not as much stuff as we had. So it's getting to be more of the fun part and less the crazy ranking season. Most of the crazy ranking season are behind us until the handbook, which is the craziest of ranking seasons and the most consequential of ranking seasons.
The thing about handbook season, though, that's a little bit easier from my perspective is the shape doesn't change, and what I mean by that is every day, every week, the shape of different players' seasons changes, and you sort of have to catch up to that. And there's so much information, so many players within your own systems that you need to be able to cover. We cover so many more systems during the in season as well, that I'm almost sort of looking forward to like really honing in on my chapters, getting those done, proofing the other stuff, aiding in certain areas, but they're being sort of defined like seasons, right? Like defined numbers. This is what this guy did. This is what this guy did well, as opposed to it still evolving. Cause we have, I mean, what, 5-6 weeks still left in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a lot that can change. You know, somebody goes on an absolute heater here toward the end of the year, it could really change what the narrative around their season and how we discuss it, just based on, you know, the performance at the end of the year and figuring some things out. It's also a great time to identify potential breakouts for next year of guys that do figure something out and, you know, maybe show that particular skill or ability over the course of those final, 4 to 6 weeks. So it's a fun time as it winds down, and with trade deadline done, our top 30s done, Cape season done, draft beyond us, futures game beyond us, that really crazy period from like the end of June until like the end of July is finally past us. And I feel like I'm finally sort of unburying and starting to catch up a little bit.
Okay. That's more or less how I feel too. It's, you can breathe a little easier, and it's always fun, but sometimes there's more fun than you can fit in a day. For Jeff in Massachusetts, I'm Josh in Raleigh for the Bear and Parrot Hot Sheet podcast. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.